Blog Talk Radio.
Beloved friends, welcome to Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith. And you just heard one of my favorite gospel groups singing one of my favorite contemporary gospel songs, You're the Biggest Part of Me. It truly is a celebration and glorification of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in our lives. He truly is and should be the center of us at the very end. Speaking about what we're going to address today with drug abuse and the detrimental and often fatal impact it has on the lives of people, that the perfect and ideal method for us to pray. Because truly, when we are on the Lord, we refrain from involved in such harmful activities. So I want to just update my week and how things have gone with me. I did start what we call debt study. And the steps that you think small goals and just making it visible, evaluating and reflecting on it in our lives and dialoguing and sharing in a confidence of setting each other as we have to cope and handle and manage the various challenges and trials of our lives and giving hope to have these tribulations. So wonderful start to that. And see there's a lesson that we complete on that. That it may have triggered in our minds regarding our past, even. So also the work, the school where I work, we are trying to deliver my MBA research and office program for our students. And it really is a blessing to be able to do positivity to the lives of people and enriching and the director, this particular YMCA director, Mr. Inskeep, Justin Inskeep, and his staff, also a local church, First United Methodist Church, all of us together in this triangular partnership, really speaking to just bringing not only the great pain, but really well-rounded, holistic education at the state, community, and in the future. Just getting together to build up the program in the community and their children to take part in it. So we're excited about kicking that off in January. A revival at one of our free teaching at Oakland University, and he his life and what would be forthcoming. The Lord has called us to do in our lives. Into our Red Ribbon Just Say No to Drugs Week, and we're all across the nation this week. And it's an exciting time to see our children get incredibly enthusiastic about speaking out against drug use or speaking for being drug free and committed to sobriety. So that's just a beautiful thing to see all of those. Very few messages are positive and healthy for society today, but that is one of the things that has endured. And so I just mention that successful week we made an excellent grade in a class. And I put the paper on the refrigerator, even though he still knows what it feels like he's five, and he has made me proud with the accomplishment he's, you know, had at school. And I just want to say that I'm very blessed. And while life is not perfect, it is it's certainly not. And we need to appreciate that. I do want to pray for all those people who are shackled and entrenched. Drug abuse and drug addiction, all the various things, because the Lord does not want us to do that damage to our bodies. He really gave us these temporary vessels to be used for His work. And so we cannot do that if we can't turn away from that lifestyle. I also want to pray at my school with people who lost loved ones are very sick. So I pray for their peace and for their comfort to be able to last. People are and we have people in our to do more basket angel tree and that, so we definitely want to let's have opening prayer. Father God in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, for your blessings, for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. Father God, there are many who are dealing with drug addiction. They're maybe deeply depressed, Father God, lonely, having had traumatic experiences where they are, using these substances. Escape mechanism, Father God, whatever the case may be. But we just don't think to listen to any of our problems, turning to you, Father God. Also pray for those who don't live. Please,
Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I want to start with some scripture verses on what does the Bible say regarding drug addiction. 1 Corinthians 10:13, and I love this scripture verse. No temptation is overtaking you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good men. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Sinning deliberately after receiving knowledge of the truth no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Matthew 6:13, from the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Proverbs 20:1. Wine is a mocker, a strong tooth, a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Ephesians 5:18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Before we get into our focal topic of today, I wanted to first just mention some inexpensive, cost-free ways to give back to the community. And the closing month, the post couple of months, 2015. You know, many of us are having financial economic challenges, don't have a lot of money to, you know, maybe sponsor families or agency or, you know, just give big donations, monetary donations to the church, to charities, and I totally get that. Everybody's financial situation is different. But there is something that, you know, pretty much everyone can do with just a little spare change, or maybe not even that. These are some ideas. Number one, collect canned goods. Pick up a few extra on your way to the store or stop by your local dollar store. These are sometimes 50 cents a can, maybe even less than that, sometimes 33 cents a can. And then donate to your local food bank or, you know, your child's school or whatever the case may be. We're actually doing a canned good job at my school through Thanksgiving. It was an idea of my principal to start that. And it's just a way that pretty much everybody can get, you know, wherever you live, wherever you are, if you're like, well, I wish somebody would start that or get that going, you can start it. You can spearhead it. You can coordinate it, be the catalyst for that. It's a very simple project. You know, grab a flyer, get some copies made, distribute it or disseminate it around your place of work. Or if you're at school and a student, go to your administration, ask them to do this. I mean, it's not a project that's going to be refused because it's simple, it's easy, but it really means a lot. Number two, a clothing drive. You can actually go through your old clothes and shoes that are in decent or fairly good condition that you don't wear anymore and give to Goodwill, et cetera. That can be totally free if there are items you already own. Again, we're talking about things that are not in bags, but just put that for whatever reason. Maybe you've outgrown, maybe you don't particularly care for anymore, but they would be perhaps great items for someone else. Number three, you can serve lunch or dinner to the homeless. That cost is really time. Maybe whatever gas you would have to use to travel to a location to do so, but it's making the time after time. And during this part of the year, there are people who do that. My son and I have been particular in the recent this year, a number of times to serve lunch to the residents there. Number four, visit St. Jude, another hospital, to encourage and pray with patients, or make donations, make cards, et cetera. We recently did that for St. Jude. It's a great way to to just, you know, it's so rewarding. It's really something you haven't even money, but it's an invaluable, priceless experience for you personally to connect with these individuals and just fill their hearts with encouragement and love. And you also get a lot of energy and hope from young people. You can pray with the patients as well. They love to receive prayer line, or participate in a community prayer line. We do have a Through the Storm ministry at our church. Our community services director, Mary Jane, you know, started that, and it's a weekly prayer line and prayer service where people can actually email in these prayers that they would like to be stated and considered in their petition of the Lord for these particular requests. And it's really beautiful when we put together and say on behalf of others. And that is a way of giving back to the community. Talk about ceasing the dead-end cycle, the key to being drug-free. That it certainly does start and end with the Lord. He is the Alpha and the Omega. But let me just share some information with you, some statistics on the drug abuse. This is the National Institute on Drug Abuse. So this is as it relates to the United States of America. There are likely some different statistics. Well, here are some different statistics depending upon the country. In the United States of America, as far as the cost of substance abuse of tobacco, alcohol, and illicit drugs is roughly the nation exactly more than $700 billion annually in cost related to crime, lost work, productivity, and health care. So for tobacco, for health care, it's $130 billion, overall $295 billion. Alcohol, $25 billion, overall $224 billion. Illicit drugs, $11 billion, overall $193 billion. So I want to read the statistics for the high school and youth trends. And this is very important as it relates to the Red Ribbon Week especially. But the 2014 survey showed continued declines in alcohol use by all grades. So that is positive. This is according to drugabuse.gov, the National Institute on Drug Abuse. 9% of 8th graders, 23.5% of 10th graders, and 37.4% of 12th graders reported past month use of alcohol, which was lower than in 2009. And a 5-year drop in binge drinking, which was very common. And that was only 1.4% of 8th graders reported smoking every day in 2014, compared to 2.7% in 2009. And so e-cigarettes, unfortunately, that's something that has risen in popularity. Use of e-cigarettes in the past 30 days was reported by 8.7% of 8th graders, 16.2% of 10th graders, and 17.1% of 12th graders. Many of them are not recognizing that as harmful, but it certainly is. And illicit drugs is still at, you know, almost 30%. Marijuana use is remaining stable. And those 7th, 8th graders have been reported as using it at 6.5%, 10th graders at 16.6%, and 12th graders at 21.2%. Close to 6% of 12th graders report daily use of marijuana, and 81% of them said the drug is easy to get. And we've had even some students at our school run across it, just laying around different places, or it is a very easily accessible drug. And that's unfortunate. There's also been a rise in some over-the-counter drugs and so forth. It's very disturbing, some of these statistics. You know, we do have, you know, some of our youth using, you know, stimulants, cannabinoids and other types of things, methamphetamine, et cetera. So what do we need to do to end this cycle?
The various reasons that people do this.
The end of a relationship that they believe to be forever, whatever the case may be. But these are some important keys. Number one, be grateful for the little things, which are really the big things. There really are no little things. Thank God for what you have been given and what you do have. And you're less likely to come.
And I know that easily say with the death of a parent or, you know, something, their abandonment by family, orphaned, or whatever the case may be, you know, severe bullying.
And I'm not saying and minimizing the pain, but saying the best, one of the best ways to cope with it is to really get on what is positive and uplifting in his life, because sometimes there are things we cannot change. So many of prayer and celebrate with company, but we can do some things to help alter our perspective. Number two, commune with God daily. Listen to him, talk with him, share with him. He hears, he understands, he brings comfort and peace.
So we're in a blessed to talk to God on a daily basis, just like we are
not tapping into our life source. You know, it's like we cut ourselves off from life for that day, because in him we live and we can have our being. And when you're not connected to him, you're really disconnected from the side of that stuff, and you're not really able to go and function as we should if we don't. Number three, surround yourself with positive, healthy, uplifting people, people who want you to do drugs or drugs. Because people who are trying to get you involved in that lifestyle do not want the best for you nor for themselves if they're involved in it. And so the more positive is the advantageous choices for yourself. Number four, get involved in your life. I call it the best life. The Bob Green, that whole initiative. The 90s, learn to play an instrument or, you know, learn a new language, start exercising, channel your energies into positive, productive pursuits. Your life are not going as you would have them to go. There's still a way that you can, you know, tap into your life and get the most out of it. And that part of that is you know, getting yourself engaged in these types of activities. Number five, help others. You know, don't be so self-centered. Think of how you can serve those in need. Be a benefit to somebody less rich than in our lives that may make us sad or, you know, seem unpleasant. Giving back to the community. Number six, place faith in the Lord, not people. Trying to get so devastated and discombobulated by the people. Who keeps us grounded. And number seven, seek Christian counselors and mentors who can pray with you and hold you accountable for your actions. That is very critical, because we're made to be relational with people. And so we want to have to help us to grow. Right? In closing, I have never been addicted to any type of relationship. You know, I once had a very small sip, and it was so disgusting to me. It was a horrible taste, and it was hours before I could even recover from that. And everything. You know, that was a very 15 years ago, I just went back to Jesus. And today, for, you know, personal convictions, I just don't have anything to do with alcohol at all.
But I do like to,
I really need help getting things on track.
And off the track, avoid this hobble and hang up.
And the way that I have learned to cope with those is that really Frank, we're unable to do that. So whatever the situation may be, and if someone is a smoker and you just can't put the cigarette down, you just need to pick it back up again and face the condition. Everyone have a blessed evening, and I